We're looking here at the hindrances to prayer, and we're thinking about revival, thinking about what's coming and needing to pray for. We talked about, and I'm going to try just to abbreviate a lot of this and review, and we talked about being unhumbled. That is pride getting in the way. We've dealt with that on several occasions here recently, and I pray that God will help all of us to remember that. What we are by the grace of God. If we're not for the grace of God, we wouldn't be anything, couldn't do anything. It's only the grace of God. Then we talked about unjudged iniquity as a hindrance to prayer. That is sin in our lives, and God talked about that in Isaiah 59 and 1 and 2, talked about iniquity separating, sin separating, and God not hearing us when we pray. So we need to judge sin in our life. We talk about the unforgiveness, and God talked about if we would not forgive, then he would not forgive us. And if we're not forgiven, we know we can't pray. And so we have to have that from God. So we need to understand that. Then we talked about unfounded praying. That is, praying is not founded in the Word of God and doesn't have that to back it up, a promise of God that God would have. And we need to have solid praying ground to pray on. And I'm glad we can in the Word of God. We need to hide the Word in our hearts. And John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. And so there's a key to that, is abiding in him, he abiding in us, a continuation of that fellowship and in the Word of God. But tonight, I want to deal with this subject, and I can't exhaustively do that tonight, but unbelieving. Unbelief is a hindrance to prayer. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. And many times I pray, and if I really was put on the spot and had to answer to God right then that I really believe God was going to answer that prayer, I'd be embarrassed. Amen. Is that not true? Is that not where most of us are? Sometimes, well, I'm sorry to say sometimes, probably most of the time. We want to say we believe God. We want to talk about, yeah, I believe God. We believe that God can do it, but believing that God will do it is another thing. So, you know, we need to come to grips with this about, look back in verse 15, first verse we read tonight, and says the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith. And so we need to pray in faith, believing God is going to hear, and only hear, but answer prayer. Turn with me in Mark chapter number 11, and let's look at verse number 23. Mark chapter 11 and verse number 23. I want you to see this in the Word of God. Now, I'm treading on some ground here that I hope I can say what I need to say correctly. Back in verse number 22 of Mark 11, let's look at that verse with this. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, the fig tree had just been dried up. Jesus had spoke the words, and the fig tree had dried up, and they come out amazed looking at it. And he said, have faith in God. Then look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, we realize the fact that you must compare Scripture with Scripture, and that God doesn't do things just to magnify us. He's not going to do anything to make us just to show off or do something like that. But when we're praying for the glory of God and praying for something that is solid on the Word of God and praying in the will of God, and if we desire, God's using an illustration here about a mountain being cast in the sea. And he's saying unto us that this fig tree just dried up, and my disciples were amazed about it. But he spoke the word, and it did it. Now, well, I'm not preaching name it and claim it. I want to get that straight. I'm not a TV preacher that preaches name it and claim it. And there are some that says, well, you just name it and claim it by faith, and you got it. That's not, you can look at the Bible, see what God says about that. God didn't answer everybody's prayer. Paul had an affliction in the flesh. Asked God to heal it, but God wouldn't do it. I've said, my grace. God knows more about what we need than we know ourselves about what we need. And if we don't let God help us and show us what we need, we're not going to be praying right. But God does have, and what he's saying to the disciples here is, God has the power to do whatever we are asking him to do. We need to believe God for it. We need to believe God for it and have faith about it and trust God for it. And I say that, and like I said, I put myself in that position to say I need some help with that. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. If you're still with our text, you're real close to that. James chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Now, I waver. I'm like the man at the foot of the mountain. I've said it many times. I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Believe God's going to do it, but then I'm wondering, is it really going to happen? And I know y'all beyond that in spiritual life. Y'all have arrived in this thing of faith, but I'm working on mine. And I pray God to help me believe God more in days to come. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. And let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now that's a strong statement to me and a strong statement to all of it. If we're going to waver about it, we don't need to think we're going to receive anything of the Lord. We ask God for revival. We pray for God to save somebody. We ask God to move in hearts. We ask God for good services. We pray for God to do that. Now let me say this real quickly. We need to be careful that what we're asking for, we're not asking it just so we can be, say, well, boy, didn't we have a good time, or didn't we do this, and didn't we do that, and didn't, you know, we're praying for God's glory and for God's honor, and I think that's a key factor in all of this, but we need to believe God for what we're asking God for, and certainly we need to do that. I talked about that man at the foot of the mount a while ago, and when Jesus came down, he healed that boy. And the disciples came to him later and asked, why couldn't not we do that? And they were asking, why couldn't we help him? And even the man himself, when Jesus came down, he wasn't sure Jesus could help him because the disciples couldn't. And he said, if thou canst do anything. Every other place in Scripture, you'll find that they're saying, you can if you will. But here they're saying, this man saying, if you can, will you? And Jesus certainly has the ability to do so. And so the disciples came to him. They said, why could not we cast him out? And here's what he said. This kind. Now I preach a message sometime on this kind. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. By prayer and fasting. We know more about feasting and playing than we do about fasting and praying. And to all of us, we need to realize the fact that God still honors that. And when we fast and pray for the glory of God and for that we desire, when we're really sincere about it and have an earnest desire, and so we need to believe. Now we're praying for God to move in revival. We're praying for the brother Chris Grinstead as he comes, that God give him what we need. We need to believe that God's going to do that. And then we need to believe that God's going to meet with us. And we need to believe that God's going to help us. God's going to give me what I need. God's going to give you what you need. And we need to pray God's going to speak to other hearts. These people I'd love to see get in church. These people I'd like to see get saved. There's some folk I want to see come. There's some things I want to see happen. There's some families I want to see get some help. There's some things I want to see moved about. Amen. I want to know that breeze from heavenly world. I want to see people come. And I tell you right now, I get nervous about when it gets revival time. And on Monday morning, I'm a nervous wreck because I'm afraid, well, who's going to come tonight? Who's going to be there? No, I need to dismiss that from my mind and just concentrate on the fact I want God to meet with us. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's a house full or half full or two or three of us. We're going to meet with God and have him to glorify himself. I believe I'd have a better time than you would too. I'm being honest about it, where I'm standing, where I look at it and how I look at it. I am concerned about people coming. I do want to see people come. I know they can't get help if they don't come. So I am concerned about that, but I cannot let that consume me. And when we get in the service and there's not too many there, don't too many come. I'll tell you right now, I remember the revival service you used to announce you're going to have revival. And the house would fill, and strangers would come, and sinners would come, and people just fill the house, and you just have a great time. And I'd love to see that happen again. But that'll never happen until we believe God and pray like we ought to pray and trust God to do something in the hearts and lives. But that's not the ultimate goal we're after. It's seeing the house full and strangers. I want to see strangers come. I want to see unsaved come. I want to see them get saved. But I want God to move in our hearts and in our life and magnify himself and get glory and get honor and get praise. I need to pray and believe God for that. And I believe the other things we talked about will be byproducts of that. They'll get noise that Jesus is in the house. Hey, something, they've got a crowd starts coming. Amen. It gets noise that God's doing something around that. People get excited about it. And they I know not everybody will, but thank God for those who do. And those who will. If one person gets saved, if one person gets right with God, it's out of the will of God, it's well worth every effort. Well worth every prayer. It's well worth everything we put into it if that happens. Let me finish up this message tonight. And we're going to have a brief business meeting in a minute, but I want to give you this. I've got this on my mind. I'm thinking about hindrances to prayer. I want us to pray, but I heard Brother Roland praying over there, and he quoted some verses I'm going to use right here. But unmoved praying. How many times do we pray and it's unmoved? We're not really touched by it ourselves. We're not really urgent about it. Look in verse number 16 of our text. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That effectual means to bring about or to accomplish. Fervent means to be hot, glowing, or intense. And so we need to pray that way. Look in verse number 17 of the text. It said, talking about Elijah was a man subject to like passions we are, and he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. He got down to business. He really meant business with God. He wasn't just saying words. Sometimes in our prayer life, we get used to saying words. And y'all have heard me tell this before, but one night I came in, I wore out, tired, everything else. Got down beside the bed to pray, and I said, Lord, thank you for this food. And the bed started shaking. I knew what one he was doing. She's laughing. And when I kept on trying to straighten up and tried to straighten up my prayer and tried to get a hold of God. It's hard to get a hold of God when your wife's laying on the other side of the bed laughing. And the bed is shaking, and she's trying to keep from laughing. And it's a terrible time to get into it and try to get a hold of God. And I got through trying to pray anyway, and she said, best you find out where you are before you start praying. And what I thought about, man, we get so used to doing certain things at certain times and praying certain prayers in a certain way, and that's what we do. Is that not right? Do you not get in that kind of praying mode sometimes? And you pray, but you don't really pray. We say the words, but we don't really get earnest about it. We don't glow with intensity about it and really get down to business about it and pray and ask God to really help us like we ought to. And because of our lack of concern, I believe it's a lack of really seeing the need of the hour. And we're going to get to that. God will help me sometime, maybe this weekend. But I'm telling you right now that we're in desperate need tonight. We need something in America. We need something in our churches. We need God to give us a real revival. And we're desperate. And we better get desperate about our praying and get intense about it and really get into it for the glory of God. And take that time that it's going to take for that. That's work. That's not playtime. And when it comes time to pray, it's not time to think about everything else. And boy, the devil will bombard your mind with everything when it comes time to pray. But you have to fight that and then keep on praying. Keep on asking God to help you and plead the blood and plead Jesus and ask God to do something. and God will. But we need to know him, believe him, but we need to pray with intensity and pray fervently. God will hear prayer that's fervently prayed, earnest, fervent, praying, and sincere, and praying. Jesus prayed in the garden till his sweat became as great drops of blood. And I realize we probably never pray that way, but we can pray with intensity, and we ought to pray until... You ever prayed till you really felt wore out? You ever really prayed till you felt wore out physically? And I'm not talking about that every time we pray we have to be wore out when we get through, but I've been times when I really got down to praying business and was wore out when I got through praying, because the body, when you get into it, you put every fiber you're being into it, praying, if you're really praying and really get intense about this thing. If we knew that some China, somebody else was going to attack this country, and bombs are going to fall, or missiles are going to come, or it's going to be an awful time, there'd be some intense praying. I remember when 9/11 happened, everybody on any news you got, if somebody's asking people to pray, people to pray, people to pray. And I agreed with them, we need to pray and needed help. But what if we knew that tonight was happening? We get down to business about praying. We'd ask God to help our families get right. We'd be asking God to do something. And we forget about some things that we get so wrapped up in down here. It wouldn't be so important to us. But prayer would be important. Now, I'm going to bring it to a close here in a minute, but unmoved praying. I pray God would help us not to be hindered in praying and unbelief, not believing that God's going to do it. And as we pray about this revival, and praying for people, let's pray that God will and believe it. And then let's pray with intensity and with moved in our hearts toward God for that. Let's bow our heads. Brother Tim, if you'll come, please. And invitation, I'm not going to prolong the invitation. I hope that you'll take the word of God home with you. Deep down inside, you'll think about it. I hope your prayer life will be affected by it. I hope that your forgiveness life will be affected by it. I hope your unjudging sin in your life will be affected by it. I hope that our humility will be right. I pray that God will help us to found it on the word of God. And God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. We need to pray that kind of prayer. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody, no singing yet. Just everybody, just your heads bowed and eyes closed. People are coming. I invite you to come pray and just talk to God.